But then on the flip side of that is that multitasking is a lie. And so your brain is actually not physically capable of doing multiple tasks that use the same side of the brain at one time. And so by having all these dings go off and trying to draw your attention somewhere else, you're actually slowing your brain functions down.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Hey Presley podcast. One quick thing before we dive in. Time is running out to vote for the Hey Presley podcast to win Best of Our Valley. You can go vote every single day until November 30th, but even if you just go vote this one time after hearing this, I would appreciate it so much. The link is in the show notes of this episode, and you can also find it in my Instagram bio, which is at Hey Presley. It only takes a couple moments to click that link, cast your vote for this show, and thank you so much. Now, on to the episode. Today, I chat with Jen Lawrence, who is a virtual assistant and productivity coach. I met Jen for coffee after connecting with her at an event, and just minutes into our conversation, I knew that I had to bring her on the podcast. This episode, we talk about how to be more productive and not just busy, so how to like actually get things done. And we also talk about how to structure your day and your week to maximize your energy, your mood, and your focus. We also talk about what a virtual assistant is, who it's for, what VAs do, and how to find and screen for a good one, along with how to determine where you could get help in your life or business and where you could delegate those things that a VA could help you with. We also go over a lot of examples that are applicable to business owners and executives and individuals in the workforce or stay-at-home parents and creatives and contractors and everyone in between. So if you are listening to this, then this episode is for you. Jen also created a special guide just for listeners of this show, so make sure you listen all the way through to the end to hear what it is and how to download it for free as a listener of this podcast. This conversation is super tactical and loaded with helpful information, and I hope that you enjoy it. Jen, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you. You and I got coffee after connecting through Powerhouse Women, and at that meeting, I just knew that I had to bring you on the show. There's a couple different things that I know we'll touch on in this conversation, but I want to start with a topic that I think most of us can really benefit from, which is productivity. And, you know, I think we all have like these mile long to-do lists and things we want to get done that we often struggle with being productive instead of just busy. So as somebody that does productivity coaching, can you first speak to like, why is it that so many of us struggle to get everything done?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, I'm super happy to be here. In today's world, we struggle to get so much done just because there's so many demands. One of the biggest factors is our digitally connected age. So we're constantly getting emails. We're constantly getting, whether it's Facebook messages, Instagram messages, I don't know, Pinterest updates, like whatever you're involved in, you're constantly connected. And so the to-do list never ends because the world never ends, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to productivity, we are using tools that we were taught as children in a pre-digital stage. And we're not finding a good way to adapt that to the new digital stage. Most of us are living on the fence of having, we had cell phones or we knew about cell phones when we were kids, but they weren't smartphones, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas now everything's a smartphone. So actually the generations behind us are going to be much more equipped to handle productivity going forward. But today's workforce is kind of at a loss. What do I do with all of this information and how do I handle it? Because, you know, my old school paper planner isn't really going to help me manage my inbox.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is figure out how do we match old school and new school and old school preferences to new school methodologies. And people are getting overwhelmed by the number of options. Mm. And that's where everyone's kind of getting lost. I mean, a great example is, I go back to the paper planner, right? I love writing things down on paper, but I also love scheduling things in my calendar. And so you have to find a balance of how to manage that. And today, I could name 8 to 10 tools off the top of my head that can teach you how to do that. So just the sheer volume of options is overwhelming, and we put it off because it's another task.
Yeah.
And so our to-do list just exists in this perpetual cycle of being too much.
Right, right. I love a paper planner and I also love writing things down, but I also have this weird fear that like if I were to lose it or like my apartment burned down or I don't like just the idea that my whole life would be in something that's so easily ruined freaks me out.
Which, which I find really funny because like our concern is like, oh my gosh, what if I lose my to-do list? If your apartment burns down, you're probably going to lose more important things like your birth certificate, your social security card. But we're like, oh no, my to-do list.
What would I do if I didn't know what was on my list, right? Totally. So what kind of themes in doing the productivity coaching that you do, what are some of the key things that seem to help a lot of people? And I know everybody's situation is a little bit different, but are there continuous themes of, we need to get people on a certain project management software, or we need to get them off their paper planner, or what kind of things come up often?
Absolutely. The number one theme that comes up is people are thinking way too hard about productivity. Mm. You know, and this goes back to being inundated with way too many options. And what I really focus on with most of my coaching clients is let's get back down to basics. What do you need to accomplish every day, every week, every month, every year? Make sure we know what those are, where they land on our calendars. And one of the tips that I give everyone is if you need to start somewhere, is start scheduling your to-dos, whether you use a paper planner or whether you use a calendar in your computer, your phone, whatever, your iPad, whatever you prefer. Schedule it, and that way you're setting aside the time to do it.
Yeah.
So what we like to do is we like to say, okay, we're going to make a list and we're going to project manage this and we're going to get all the to-dos down and we know exactly what we need to do. But what we're failing at is making sure that we have the time and energy set aside to actually accomplish it. And so what I try to get everybody back down to is, okay, yeah, you know what you need to do, but like, how do you actually get it done? Because productivity is actually in the action. It's not in the knowledge of it. So when I'm working with my coaching clients, it takes a lot to pull people back and say, yeah, that looks really intimidating. Let's actually set some time aside to do it. And they're like, well, how do I do that? I have so much going on. And I'm like, well, start divvying up your time. And so that's a big, big theme. And then the other thing is that people don't have clear priorities in their work days. And it's in your work day and your personal life, right? Like, I know on certain days I need to go pick up my son from daycare, and that's going to take a little bit more time out of my work day. And so that's going to be priority number one that day. Or if I have a doctor's appointment or what have you. And so trying to find that balance and recognizing your priorities on a regular basis is another thing that we skip over.
Sure, sure.
You know, we like to do a lot of activities like I want to work out today and I got to meditate. And that's the other thing is we're kind of overflowing with all of these options of ways to get a handle on our life. And so you need to set your priorities daily so that you at least check off your top three things that day and say, if these three things get done, then I accomplished today what I needed to get done. Mm-hmm. And so what I drive all of my coaching clients to is, okay, let's first get into the habit of setting aside the time to actually do the work. And then also let's make sure that we're honoring our priorities by setting them daily and checking them off. And that will keep you at least from veering off the highway, as I like to say. It kind of keeps you within, it kind of puts like bumpers up on the side of the road and it kind of keeps you going right down the lane. You may not get everything done. You may have to shuffle a few things around, but at least you're constantly moving forward instead of just getting inundated with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. There's so many good things you said there. You know, something that reminded me of that I do, which, you know, I'm probably weirder than some, but I do schedule in a lot of my to-dos based on when it makes sense to do them. So for example, when I used to write a to-do list, I would put things like go pick up prescription or, you know, like errands on my to-do list. But then when I go look at my to-do list, I'm sitting in front of my computer ready to work. And I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't make sense to do that now. I'm sitting at my desk. So that's just going to stay on the to-do list. And then every time I look at it, it's when I'm at home when it doesn't make sense to go run errands, you know? So now I'll put it in like a calendar thing on the way to the gym, because it makes more sense.
Right. And that's another technique that you're using that I coach a lot of my clients on is how to actually batch your work. And that's another thing we do is we know all the things that we need to get done, but we kind of let all these to-dos float off around in space. And I remember when we got coffee, I think we talked about this is like, you know, you don't wash your dishes one dish at a time, right? You let them pile up and you wash them by hand or do the dishwasher, whatever is your way of doing it. But like, you also don't like wash one shirt at a time. So when you have a to-do list and there are common themes like, hey, I need to be out, so I'm going to run X, Y, and Z errand, then that's the time to do it. And so, it's interesting to see how different people approach that productivity and where those headaches come in, because you're absolutely right. If you don't set aside the time to do it and you're not actually thinking proactively about your to-do list, it's constantly going to be avalanching on you. Constantly.
Sure. And I love what you said about recognizing that there are so many notifications and so many communication channels. They're constantly inundating our day. Something that I definitely can improve in, but have gotten a lot better at, is making time to answer emails and a time to get back to Instagram DMs and a time. And it, I might not always be the fastest. And sometimes it, like, I don't text people back for 12 hours, but like, that's when I text people back, you know, and if,
we're all right? guilty of that.
If it's important enough, then they'll call me. But finding, because otherwise, if I answered a text message every time I got a text message, right, then I'd constantly be distracted. Or if I had my Instagram notifications on every time someone liked or commented or DM'd me, I would be distracted. And then that would pull me all day. So doing, absolutely, you know, emails in the morning and at night, and texts in the morning and at night, and, you know, DMs once a day, or whatever your, you know, maybe for you, it's Slack or whatever you use for your work. I think doing it at a certain time each day, unless you have to be in it all day, can also be really helpful.
Well, and that's a great point. And that's another thing that is one of those unnecessary stressors that has been kind of put on our digital stage, is this constant connectedness. Mm-hmm. Like, just because I can get email 24/7 doesn't mean I will be getting email 24/7. And I set those really clear boundaries with my clients, which I know we're going to talk about later. But I tell them, you know, 4 o'clock, my son is home, my husband's home, and so I'm home. And so I shut down. Just because I work virtually and I own my own business does not mean that you always have access to me. And that goes for social media too. And it's really disheartening, especially if you use a lot of social media, whether it's for your business, for your personal goals or what have you, is all the algorithms reward constant connectedness. Right. And it's like, you're driving us crazy, Facebook. Like, this doesn't work. And so it's one of those that you have to self-manage that, and you have to gauge whether that is something that you're going to place value in. And so if one of the ways to really improve your productivity and improve your mindset and improve your sanity is to turn off the notifications, mm-hmm. because one, it forces you into this very stressful place of feeling like everybody always has access to you, which kind of feels icky, right? Could you imagine if, like, you just lived with your front door open and somebody could just walk right in whenever they wanted to? But then on the flip side of that is that multitasking is a lie. And so your brain is actually not physically capable of doing multiple tasks that use the same side of the brain at one time. And so by having all these dings go off and trying to draw your attention somewhere else, you're actually slowing your brain functions down. Mm-hmm. And so it's a twofold thing to actually shut off your notifications. That's going to improve your productivity hugely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, multitasking is a lie. I love that. I'm definitely one of those people that thought for a long time that I was just the exception to that rule and that I was good at it.
We all think that. We all think we're like Wonder Woman. And you're like, no, I got this.
We can multitask. Nobody else can, right?
But right, right.
Batching and stop trying to multitask. It's amazing how much you get done. You mentioned energy a little bit, and I want to dive into that real quick. You talk on your website about energy hotspots. So what are energy hotspots, and why does knowing what yours are matter?
Absolutely. I love talking about energy hotspots. And this is one of the ones where when I say this, people start to feel like it's a little woo-woo, and it's not. It's totally not. I'm talking your actual physical energy, like the energy you fuel with food and sleep. We're talking about that kind of energy. And when it comes to energy hotspots, what I'm talking about is we like to put people in cute little boxes. Like, I'm a night owl or I'm a morning mm-hmm. person. But the reality is that your energy flow ebbs and flows throughout the day based on what you're doing to fuel your body. So I'm a AM worker outer. Is that a term? I'm an AM exerciser. And so I like to get up. I like to get my workout in. I like to eat my big old breakfast, which means I am my most productive and my most creative first thing in the morning. And recognizing that, that is what I call an energy hotspot. That is when I am on. That is when I'm ready. That is when the juices are flowing. That's when I'm going to produce my best creative work. And so that's when I do all my writing. That's when I write a lot of blog posts. I write a lot of workbooks. I do a lot of guest articles for a bunch of publications. And so that's when I actually sit down and I let those juices flow. Yes, that means I start my day a little bit later, but Not really, because if I need to write that content, I might as well write it when I feel my best.
Yeah.
I am also the person that after 2-3 o'clock, I don't really want to work anymore. And I still have to get the work done. And so that's actually when I schedule a lot of my phone calls, because I find that phone calls at that time of day reinvigorate mm-hmm. me and kind of liven me back up to be in mom mode when my son comes home. And so by recognizing these different patterns in my day, I'm able to schedule out my to-dos to match my energy levels. So that's what I'm talking about, energy hotspots, is what you're doing is you're actually tracking how you feel throughout your day in general. Obviously, every day is not the same, but you're tracking how you feel throughout the day so that you can maximize your energy so that you can get stuff done. Because, I mean, have you ever tried to be in a meeting when you're like totally drained?
Right.
I mean, most meetings are totally different, but
you're not your best self.
I come from corporate America. But like you sit in a meeting and it doesn't feel good. You're not engaged. You're easily distracted. You're getting those notifications on your phone and you're like, hey, that seems interesting. Or if you've ever tried to like force yourself into working on a project during a time when you would much rather be out to lunch.
Right.
And so what you're not respecting is how your energy is feeling. And you're not utilizing that as a tool.
Yeah.
Instead, you're trying to force the triangle into the square, right? Like you got to work with your energy.
Absolutely. I love that. You know, that really speaks to something that I've been trying to do differently recently. And I didn't even really realize that it was that, which is I used to always work out first thing in the morning. And I actually don't love working out first thing in the morning. It just felt good to get it done so I didn't have to worry about it. But a lot of my friends go in the afternoon. I like being there in the afternoon. I feel like I get better workouts. And so lately I was like, you know what, let's try it. So I started getting up earlier to work so that I could go to the gym at like 4:30 or 5, be with my friends. Normally I would be like really tired and feel kind of lethargic around 4 or 5. But now it's like I'm getting my endorphins up. I'm getting my workout in. I'm seeing my friends. And now I have like this burst of energy to come home and cook dinner and like finish whatever work I didn't get done in that 4 to 6 timeframe. And it's been really cool. And I didn't even realize that really speaks to playing into my energy hotspots.
Absolutely. And that's a great example of it. And I love talking about working out because it's such a like a physical mm-hmm. reaction to utilizing your energy. And it's one of those things that like you're told to work out in the morning, right? It's going to boost your energy. You're going to be burning more calories throughout the day. But guess what? If you get a crummy workout in the morning, you're not going to be burning anything. And by the way, you're going to have a huge lunch because you feel miserable. Right. So that's again, playing on that energy hotspot. If it doesn't feel good to you to get out of bed first thing in the morning, especially as the winter's rolling around
cold
and it's
and
like
dark.
40 degrees outside and it's dark, then don't do it. Do when it feels good. And so if that means adjusting your schedule a little bit, you're actually going to get more out of your day if you're listening to how your body is actually feeling in those moments.
Love that. And how does somebody go about starting to understand what their energy hotspots are? Because I feel like it's one of those things that could be difficult if you ask somebody listening right now, like, where are you at energy-wise? Like, fine. I don't like, you know, if somebody's never thought about it before, I can imagine that would be difficult.
Right. Right. It's so funny when you say that, because the first thing I visualize is the game The Sims, where like they have like the little energy bars yeah. that tell you how they're feeling at any time of the day and what drains yeah. them and what have you. And unfortunately, we aren't little Sims avatars and we don't have these indicators. And so what I tell people to do is just start paying attention to how you feel throughout the day and start keeping a record of it. And I know that sounds like another to-do, but most of it is instinctual. Most of it you actually know. And so on my website, I actually have a worksheet that will guide you through the process of, you know, they're leading questions that ask you, you know, what is your preference for this? When do you feel your best? You know, if you're a person who hates to talk to people before noon, then you know that, right? Like you know this. And so it's not this big overwhelming, you know, thesis that you're going to have to figure out for yourself. Most of this you already know. It's just writing it down and starting to recognize the patterns as they're happening. Yeah. And also know that some activities are just going to drain you no matter sure. what. If you're on a conference call with 15 people three times a week, I'm sorry, that's just going to suck. So it's not going to be the most invigorating thing you've had. But knowing when you're feeling your most social and knowing when, in both in person, on the phone, and on video, those are all very different social engagements. The worksheets that I provide walk you through all these different scenarios. Like, how does this feel to you? And so once you start getting an idea of how you feel throughout your day or throughout your week, you can start mapping what your ideal week looks like, which is another leading activity that I have, where you can start categorizing your to-dos into these buckets so that you're honoring your energy. So not only you're doing multiple things, you're scheduling your to-dos, you're honoring your energy, you're batching your work, and you're getting so much more done. And all you did was just kind of tune into yourself.
Love that. That's so good. And just to speak to, you know, it is huge when you work for yourself you're in a position when you can make your schedule, but this is so applicable even if you don't work for yourself. I mean, just knowing are there going to be, you know, maybe you are best on conference calls in the afternoon, and if you work in a workforce, might you have to get on the phone before that? Absolutely. But then when you get to schedule the conference call, maybe you can schedule it in the afternoon, or at least maybe you know, okay, yeah, conference calls drain me in the morning, so I shouldn't schedule creative time right after that because I already don't do great with conference calls in the morning. So just to kind of speak to that, you know, does this make so much sense if you're fully in control of your schedule? Totally. But I think it makes a lot of sense even if you're not, just to get a better read on when to schedule, you know, creative time with your kids, or maybe today should just be a park day after work because you had a day full of things that drain your energy. And I think it's super applicable for a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is I started using this method for myself about 5 years ago. I was working in a corporate environment and I was an executive assistant and I supported three people and I was a project manager and I was an event planner and I was also training for my first half marathon. And so, because I'm crazy. So there was just a lot going on and I was like, wow, like I'm starting to feel out of control. And I wouldn't call myself a control freak. I am definitely type A. but I needed to find a way to bring control out of the chaos. And one of those ways was trying to tap into how do I maximize my time? And what I was finding is that you actually do have a little bit more control over your calendar in most environments. There are some roles that I understand that you're definitely at the mercy of everyone around you. But also remembering that you have to protect your task list as well. So there's this great opportunity for you to learn to create boundaries too. You know, that if somebody wants to meet with you, you know, every single day at 4 o'clock, by the way, stand-up meetings drive me crazy. But if they want to meet with you every single day at 4 o'clock, but you feel your best working on projects, you know, late in the afternoon, it's the opportunity to say, hey, like, I would love to touch base with you frequently. Can we either look at moving it forward when it's not during optimal project time so I can get a good chunk of time to work on things? Or maybe we reduce the number. Maybe we only meet Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So it helps you use that as a tool to have these more courageous conversations around setting boundaries in your workday, especially if you don't work for yourself. This is actually an optimal tool to help you learn those workplace boundary opportunities.
I love that. That's so good. To switch gears a little bit, you mentioned that you used to be an executive assistant and now you're a virtual assistant or a VA, and we're going to get into what that means in just a moment. But you know, what made you decide to make that transition to get into this field of doing probably very similar duties, but for yourself rather than through a corporation?
Absolutely. I love talking about this. I have been in the administrative field for over 15 years. In fact, one of my very first jobs ever was being a filing clerk at a podiatry office. Wow. And I was like, that's not the coolest job in the world, but I liked keeping things organized. Again, playing to my type A personality. And so I literally worked my way up from the bottom, and along the way explored these different avenues as a project manager for a little while. I always did a bit of event planning, and I came to a point in my career, I mean, 15 years into it, I mean, we're talking like our parents' generation would be talking about retiring in 5 years, right? So I got to this point in my career as an EA where either you step into a chief of staff role or you become a dedicated EA to a C-level executive. So we're talking like this, most of the time the CEO, that was the next step for me. And I took a look around and I said, you know, this doesn't really fulfill me the way that I want it to, because I'm so much more interested in what entrepreneurs are doing. And I was in a heavily corporate environment, and I said, you know, this climbing up the ladder, this was all fun and great, but I really want to help people who need the most help. Mm-hmm. And entrepreneurs are such DIYers, and there's so many different areas that they need help in, and they're slow to ask for that help. But also, like, when they get that help, magical things happen, you know. So I would get to see the impact of my work daily, and so I was like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go help these entrepreneurs. It's going to be fulfilling for me on a very personal level. Like, I'm going to help these entrepreneurs get these major wins, and they're not necessarily my wins, right? Like, I don't get to reap the huge benefits of it, but altruistically, there's this piece of me that just celebrates all of those big wins for my clients. And so that's exactly the road that I wanted to go down. And I've been so happy ever since I made the transition.
That's awesome. I was an executive assistant before I started working for myself, and it is like such a transferable set of skills to literally anything. Like,
it really is.
Spending your full-time hours figuring things out, communicating with people, taking random projects, stopping fires is like the best set of skills I could have asked for to be a business owner.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite descriptions of the EA role is that it's from Mad Men. So if you've never seen Mad Men, I'm sorry, but Christina Hendricks' character says, "I'm in charge of thinking of things before people need them." Mm. And I found that to be really speak to my soul as an EA. I'm super, super proactive. And who needs that more than entrepreneurs?
Sure.
Like, you need a partner that's going to say, "Hey, you know, I see that you're doing this. Have you thought of this instead?"
Right.
Or, you know what, I found this new resource. I think this will really help with your business. And so that's really where I play on this line. And one of my clients actually says I'm more of a business coach to her than a VA, because I'm coming up with all these great ideas to help her with her business that she never would have known about because of my EA background. Sure. The fact that I'm so resourceful and the fact that I'm so connected has really helped her business.
Absolutely. And so what does if someone has never heard virtual assistant or VA, what does a VA do? And can you kind of give like an overview of that position?
Absolutely. So a VA, or as I like to call them, virtual executive assistants, because VAs are also getting confused with like, "Hey, Alexa." I'm not Alexa, so I'm not going to be adding things to your grocery cart, you know, or playing music for you. But a virtual executive assistant is exactly that. It's an executive assistant that works for you virtually. Now, that doesn't mean that they are someone that you will never meet or you will never see. Two of my clients are actually based here in Phoenix, and so I do see them, you know, semi-regularly, just because it's nice to be with people in person. And then all of my other clients, I actually meet with them via Zoom phone calls, because I like to see them. Like, you know, we're human. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to your inbox. So a virtual executive assistant can be hired for any number of tasks. And think about what you see in the traditional workplace and then ramp it up by 10. So you've got anything from like calendar and email management to booking travel. Some will help you with your finances, whether it's doing expense reports or helping you with invoices or invoice chasing, which I've heard a lot of EAs help with, which is super helpful, right? Because nobody likes to send that email saying, "Hey, where's my right. money?" and then there are also EAs who add on, you know, specialty tasks. So I help a lot of my clients with their communication systems and setting up emails and newsletters. I don't do social media, but there are some that add on like social media. They're social media specialists. And so the possibilities are really endless as to what you are looking for with your VA. And then one VA can serve in multiple different ways and in multiple different markets. So if you need a VA who has a background in finance, that doesn't mean she only works with people who also work in finance. For instance, I work with business coaches, speakers, I've worked with book publishers. And so it kind of just depends on how the skills need to be used, not necessarily what industry they've been in, which is a really cool aspect of the VA world is this industry mobility.
Yeah.
It adds a lot of richness to your VA's ability to impact your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And are there reasons individuals who aren't business owners would hire a VA? Like, do these kinds of services apply to families or people in like a more general workforce position?
Yeah, actually, more and more companies are becoming comfortable with the idea of hiring virtual assistants. In fact, most recently, I think it was last week, I got two emails from corporations that are actually looking for virtual assistants. And in fact, they were just asking to tap into my network and see if I knew anybody. So they're just looking for remote workers. Yeah. Again, this digital world is a double-edged sword, right? Like, we're always connected, but also it allows you to have different resources to tap into. And the one of that being, you know, an assistant can work from anywhere. We're digitally enabled. And, you know, as long as I have a laptop and a cell phone and Wi-Fi access, I'm good to work. And so you're seeing a lot of that in the workplace where companies are getting more and more comfortable hiring not just, you know, basic workforce employees, but also assistants yeah. outside of the building. And then I've also seen a lot of virtual assistants be used as personal assistants. And so absolutely. So if you're a family or a busy philanthropist, or you just have this other half of your life that needs managing, virtual assistants are always happy to help. Again, it's just finding the right person with the right skill sets to tap into.
Absolutely. I had first heard of a VA through, I think it was like a friend that had somebody helping them with their emails or something like that. And that was like the first time I'd ever heard of it. And then a friend of mine mentioned that he was doing a house renovation and had a VA helping him schedule all his appointments for like the house renovation. And I was like, wow, I never would have thought of that. And he said, you know, yeah, instead of me calling the different contractors and figuring out, you know, who can come when, like I basically tell somebody when my wife and I are going to be home and they manage all of it. And I was like, that's amazing. And then I got coffee with you and found out about the 100 other million things that VAs can do. And it does seem like the possibilities are endless. You mentioned finding someone with the right skill set. I could totally see how it would be really daunting to hire someone that you've never met to do things that might require access to sensitive information or, you know, certain documents. So how does someone screen for a good and trustworthy VA?
That's a great question. And it is the number one question that I get from people who are looking to hire VAs. And the first thing is knowing where to look for a VA. And I don't know if this question is coming later, but we're going to
get into it.
The best way to find a virtual assistant is not to go to a website like Fiverr or Upwork or one of those that's going to get you somebody who's only going to charge you $5 an hour. Because guess what? That person may do and run away with all of your information. The other thing about going to those websites is you're going to find people who are doing this as a side hustle, not as a business. Mm-hmm. And while there is glory in the side hustle, some people are using it as a stepping stone. Some people are just using it for basic income. That's fine. But there are other people who just like don't take it seriously. And so you want somebody who's going to be invested in the outcomes that you're actually going for. I mean, could you imagine if your friend had hired somebody for scheduling and then like they just never responded? Right. That's not helping anybody, especially for scheduling. Right. So step one is to not go to any of those websites. So what you actually want to do is tap into your network. I will actually personally guarantee you that you know somebody who has hired a VA, or you may know a VA. And even if that VA doesn't have capacity to take somebody on, guess what? VAs know other VAs. Right. So this is the perfect opportunity to work your network, because a personal reference comes with a bit more security than just sending it out into the wind and hoping that you get a good, trustworthy person. And in fact, every single person that I have as a client came from a referral of a referral of a referral. And I remember my first client I ever signed, you know, the first thing she said to me was like, okay, so how do I know you're not going to run away with my credit card information tonight?
Yeah, valid question.
Very valid question. So the second thing that I would say to people is that if your VA is not willing to engage with you in legal means, and by that I mean providing a W-9 or providing a copy of your driver's license and signing a contract, those sort of things, do not work with that VA. I don't care who they are. I don't care how well you know them. I don't care that it's your boss's cousin's niece or whatever. You need to be able to engage with them in a legal means so that you have the paperwork in the event that something unfortunate happens that you can get coverage for yourself. Remember, you need to protect yourself, number one.
Love that. And I saw on your websites, and maybe this is related, maybe it's not, something about having an accreditation of some sort. Is a VA, like, can anybody call themselves a VA, or is there certain classes or accreditation that you need of some kind to call yourself a virtual assistant?
So a virtual executive assistant field is not, unfortunately, as far down the line in industry development and in accreditation as I would like, because I'm a super academic nerd and I would love to get all the accreditations. but unfortunately, it's not. So yes, to answer your question, anyone can be a VA, which is both a good and a bad thing, right? But again, it's not like we're talking about a CPA. You wouldn't just want anybody handling your finances and your taxes. But you know, it provides a good opportunity for growth for people who are interested in the field. Now, I have an accreditation as an administrative professional. So I'm a certified administrative professional, and I'm certified through one of the largest certifying bodies in the world for administrative professionals. And it's a grueling process. And there's a number of those. And a lot of VAs will actually go after those just to provide a little bit of credibility. But just because you don't see that accreditation doesn't mean they're a phony or they're making it up. It's just a lot of admins, we're still working on this accreditation cycle. Sure. It's actually fairly new. It's only been for about the past 10 to 15 years that they've been accrediting administrative professionals. So while that would provide a lot of peace of mind for most people, don't be afraid if you don't see it.
And just as like a sidebar, sometimes I've heard things or conversations and thought, oh, I would love to do that for a job. So if somebody's listening to this and thinks, I'm organized and I would love to be home with my son and I could, you know, I'm an executive assistant or I could see myself doing something like this, where would somebody go to get started to learn about how to be a VA the right way?
Oh, that's a great question. And also an area that is, if you Google it, you will become overwhelmed.
Yes. I could see that Google search being overwhelming.
Just like with every field now, right? You Google it and there's some sort of course that somebody's trying to sell you to
for $999.
Yeah. We're going to get you started, right? Well, the good thing about that is I actually offer a VA workbook. And so if you're interested in starting in the VA path, it's just a really condensed, like, hey, here's all the things that you're going to need to consider. And it's really just meant to be kind of a gateway filter for you to say, is this something I actually want to do? Is this what I want to invest in? And is this something I can do? Can I do this for my family? Because there's a lot of hard truths about it, right? You're actually self-employed. You're a business owner.
Which comes with a lot of challenges.
That comes with a lot of things like taxes and healthcare and having to deal with contracts.
Right.
So that's not attractive to a lot of people. And so I actually have a resource for that on my website. But the other thing is to just start poking around and reading articles and see how you feel. And it's also knowing yourself well enough to know if you can do it. The fact that it's remote work means you have to be stellar at written and verbal communications. It means that you have to be good at follow through. You have to be proactive. You have to make yourself available. And again, that doesn't mean you need to be available during the day. This is totally being sidebarred, but my first client was totally okay with the fact that I worked in the evenings and on the weekends because I had a full-time job. So that's something that I invite on both sides of the fence, whether you want to be a VA or hire a VA, consider that as an option, given that it is, you know, digital world work. And also, if it's not something you're willing to consider as you're looking for a VA, make sure you're clear
on that. That's such a good tip. I'm laughing about the fact that you have a workbook for people who are considering being a VA, because it's like, here's the proactive, he's like, I do this. Maybe somebody else would be interested in
exactly.
I love that.
Well, and when I first started my business, I got so many questions from my EA network, which is quite large. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, and a lot of them asking, like, "Hey, this sounds appealing to me. what do I need to know? And when you find yourself repeating yourself so many times and a lot of the same questions are getting asked, I'm like, hey, you know, there's an easier way for me to communicate this for you. So yes, the type A me kicked in and I put together a workbook and I send it to them and I'm saying, here, read up, let me know if you have any questions.
That's awesome. As a VA, what's the most unique or weird job you've been hired for or asked to be involved in?
Oh my gosh. There's all kinds of weirdness that happens in my day. I don't know that any of them are unique or weird. I'm pretty good at setting boundaries. I'm not, I make it very clear. I'm not a personal assistant or a
PA. Which probably gets some really weird stuff.
Which that's where the weird stuff comes in. that'd be a totally different podcast. There are some cool and unique things that I've had the opportunity to do, which, and that I've been exposed to that I've really enjoyed. Like planning a huge event at a very swanky hotel in Manhattan. You know, that's not something a girl from Arizona gets to do very often, right? Or learning about the process of not only applying to be a speaker at conferences, but how to get the attention of people to come after you. I've learned that how to write books on your own and how to collaborate with other people and then how to actually get those books published. So being a VA has really opened my knowledge base and my exposure to all these different things that never would have been possible if I had just stayed in my regular
job. Yeah. It seems like such a cool opportunity for somebody that likes difference all the time, you know, likes that.
Oh yeah.
That's really
cool. And that's the thing that I like to tell people who are looking for a virtual assistant is don't hide your weird. And I always, and it's actually one of the things that I coach everybody on is, you know, show your ugly side and don't hide your weird, because most VAs like the challenge. Mm-hmm. And they like the difference in their work day. So if you come at me and you say, well, I'm just looking for somebody to schedule meetings for me and maybe book a few of my flights. And I ask, you know, well, how are your clients on the other end? What's the hardest part of your work day? Oh, well, it's pretty normal. I'm actually probably going to pass.
Yeah.
because sorry, it just doesn't sound interesting to me. I like the challenge. I like the, you know, and I'm just like everybody else. I sit there at my computer and I shake my head or I roll my eyes and I'm like, what does this email even mean?
Right.
But that adds the, you know, the oscillation in the day that keeps my energy going and keeps me feeling good. And then also being able to solve problems for you. That's what I live for. And so, so many entrepreneurs or people looking for VAs, they want to like hold their cards close to their chest because they're like, I don't want to come off as like too needy or too demanding or, you know, that my clients are all really, really difficult to work with. Or, I mean, especially like it's think about like photographers that do weddings, like your VA probably is going to have to interact with some crazy bridezillas. Like make sure they know that.
Like somebody that thrives on that.
You're going to find somebody who loves that they're like, you know what, these crazy ladies, that's my jam. And so that's one of those things that I tried to get people to pull out too, is like, don't hide your crazy.
The theme of the episode, don't hide your weird. That's so interesting you say that about, you know, like a wedding photographer using a VA. Like I just feel like and not to like, you know, make this an ad for you, but like the opportunities really are endless, because I could see for any type of creative, if it's a musician, if it's an artist, if it's a photographer, that a lot of times creatives are really awesome at being creative and maybe not so great at business. And not all the time, but sometimes, right? And so it would be really neat to utilize a VA to help run your business so you can do the creative stuff.
Absolutely. And in fact, as you were saying that, I was going to say that like creatives are actually the number one users of virtual assistants. You would think they're all these other people, but it's people who think creatively that need VAs the most to be the counterbalance to all the processes and procedures and the following up and creating workflows and the project management and all of that. You can use a VA to do all of that. So you can do like the fun stuff. Like you can do the stuff that you actually wanted to do when you started your business, right? You're like, hey, I really love doing these photo shoots and editing these photos. Great. You keep doing that. your VA now can send the invoices and get the contract signed and send out the files and do the follow-ups for testimonials and all that. Like you can hire somebody to do all that stuff that you're not necessarily enjoying so much.
Ah, and I hope that gives people so much hope, because I think that there are some people that want to have a side job or want to monetize their hobby, or, you know, even if it's totally unrelated to business ownership, maybe you want to throw like your 6-year-old the most epic birthday party ever and you don't know where to start. You know, like I just think
that right.
I'm such a big fan for championing for people and giving them hope that like the things that you want to achieve and the things you want to do are possible if you have the right people in your corner, the right network, the right resources.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if somebody is listening to this and feels maybe they haven't quite resonated with that hope yet, and they're feeling a little unorganized, or they know they're not super productive, but that there's an area of opportunity for them, you know, with not feeling so overwhelmed, what would you say to that person? Like, what kind of hope or advice would you offer?
The number one thing that I would offer to these people is there's two things. So one is there's always help out there for you. And it's finding that help, and finding that help is not nearly as hard as you think it is. There's these memes that are flying around a lot lately that I have a huge, huge fundamental issue with. And I'm going to jump up on my soapbox.
Bring out the soapbox.
And it's the meme that tells you to be quiet about your goals and don't share them with people, and then like let yourself win or whatever they are. But the reality is that the more you talk about your goals, the more you're going to find that people are going to help you reach them. And one of those is recognizing when you need help. Like, hey, I really want to take on this huge new endeavor. I think I have this skill set, but I really lack things here. Anybody know anyone? Or, hey, I'm starting up this new endeavor and I just wanted to share with anyone in case anyone has any resources. And what you're going to find is that people are going to hop on that train and they're going to help you out.
Amen.
The people who are going to sit there and be naysayers, just let them sit over there and be on their own train, like whatever. But don't not share things just because you're afraid of what people are going to say, because what you're actually going to do is stop yourself from achieving those goals.
Oh, that's good. Drop the mic. That's good.
Yeah. I'm going to step back off my sofa. So the other thing that I want people to find hope in is that everything can be cleared up by making a list. And for those of you that are like, oh God, like, no, like I really mean it. Like, so the first exercise that I work through all of my potential clients with, and any of my friends who are business owners or anybody who's considering getting additional help, whether it is from a VA or a bookkeeper or, you know, a house cleaner or whatever, is to sit down and make a list of all the things that you have to do in a day, a week, or a month, depending on what your overwhelm looks like, and figure out where you can delegate. And you don't have that insight until you make that list, right? You start making this list and you're realizing, you know, I have to do, let's go back to the wedding photographer example, right? They have to go to the physical, they physically have to be at the photo shoot, and they have to physically edit the photos, right? That is their product. But then there's all this other stuff around them. They have to do the contracting. They have to be meeting with couples. They have to be sending out invoices. They have to deliver the pictures. They have to help with order placing, all of these little things. And the photographer can make that list and look at that and be like, not only do I not like doing this, I don't have to be the person to do it. Somebody else can do it on my behalf. And so as you're starting to get overwhelmed in your work or your life, start making a list of all the things that are overwhelming you and just kind of check out what you can delegate. And that's where a virtual assistant is going to come in and really help you. And it's going to be a super intentional relationship, because you're going to be handing off all the things you already know you don't want to do, you don't have to do, and that you're comfortable having somebody else do.
Absolutely. Well, and writing it down, you know, I could see, especially somebody that's newer in their business or newer in this idea, write it down and think, well, I can't afford the help. But you don't know that until you know what you need help with, you know? And so I think even if you look at that and are like, all right, this would be really great for a VA and I can't afford a VA right now, then you can start reprogramming your mind to look for ways to afford a VA, or you can set goals for yourself. Hey, once I'm making $2,000 a month, then I can reach out to a VA or whatever it is. But you can't work towards the help, I think, until you get clear on what you need help with.
Absolutely. And let's talk about this idea of cost. Because I talk to people about this a lot, that there's a cost in everything in doing business. And I talk about this with your personal time costs money. Investing in somebody else to help you costs money, and automation costs money. It just depends on where you're going to put your money and how intentional that's going to be and what the result is going to be for you. So ironically enough, there are things that I've identified for some of my clients that they have me doing that I'm saying, hey, by the way, we can invest in an automation tool and this looks expensive, right? But consider how much you pay me per hour.
Right.
And you're actually going to be saving money by doing the automation. And it sounds like I'm putting myself out of a job, but what I'm actually doing is building trust with my clients, and I have to do less tedious things. They don't even have to think about the tedious things, and the tedious things still get done. So that's something to think about, though, is where are you investing your money? Because if you are spending money on your own time, you're actually not making any money.
Right.
You're putting money into this cycle of just funding yourself, grinding.
Right.
You're literally grinding. You're not hustling anymore. You're grinding. Whereas if you reallocate some of that time over to somebody else, pay them a little bit, and have them handle things that you don't want to handle. One, you're saving yourself energy and frustration. Two, you're doubling your business productivity because now you have two people working to get things done. Mm-hmm. And three, you're just overall happier.
Totally.
Right? And it's amazing what happens when you open up that door and you now are no longer grinding and you have the brain space for creativity and you have the brain space and the energy for networking. And it's crazy how quickly you'll see that shift once you make the investment in a VA.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, even take it back to the photography example. You know, if you can do three shoots in a weekend and that's all you can do because you also have to edit the pictures and respond to clients and do all the things that make you run the business, but you have somebody else doing that, and now you can do five photo shoots in a weekend, you just almost doubled your gross income, you know? And it's like,
right.
A dentist does not do all the front desk work because he can clean more teeth and help more patients if he has help at the front desk, right?
The dentist is in your mouth. He's not in the records, right? So like, and that's so important. And so this idea that a VA is something that you have to work towards, mm-hmm. that is something that you are going to make X number of dollars and then you'll invest in, is actually kind of a misnomer, because what you actually want to do is identify when you need the help. And that's actually going to be your tipping point. It's not when you can afford the help, is when do you need the help? Mm-hmm. I actually say most of my clients actually hired me before they actually needed me. And it completely quadrupled their ability to do business. I just had a client who had her biggest month of all time last month. She made six figures in 1 month, and multiple six figures in 1 month, because she was able to just go out and do what she does best. And I just kept all the wheels on the bus for her.
Yeah.
And so my invoice to her was quite large, but she also made so much more money, right, that she was like, worth it. So worth it. And so it's kind of reevaluating your relationship with that money that you're going to be sending away, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be, that money is going to go somewhere, or that money's not going to come in at all. So if you invest in the VA, you're actually opening up that opportunity to have more income come in and more energy to do it, which is so important.
Absolutely. Oh, that's such a good point. I'm glad you said that. Before I let you go, just a couple more quick things. So first, I know that you created something very special for the listeners of this show. So can you tell everybody what that is and where to find it?
I did. I have such a special gift for everyone. As we were talking through this, if you started to think like, hey, maybe it is time for me to consider a VA, or I'm so overwhelmed that I just need to kind of evaluate where I'm at, I created the I Need Help workbook. And what this is going to walk you through is exactly what I talked about. Like, let's make some lists of what we need to do every day, week, month, and year, and then your one-off needs. And let's kind of talk about like, what can I delegate? What do I have to do? Where do I need my help? And then I actually walk you through the process of figuring out what your preferences are, both technical and interpersonal, to hire the right VA for you. And then also where to find them, how to onboard a VA, which I know is a huge question for people. And then also a bunch of different business resources to kind of help you up your game a little bit. And this is normally a $20 value on my website, but for Hey Presley listeners, it's going to be free. So if you go to jenlawrence.co /Hey Presley. You will find it there and you can download it for free.
Awesome. And I've looked at the workbook and it is worth way more than $20. So it might be valued $20 on your website normally. It is awesome because it's literally a roadmap. It'll help you get so much more clear about where you're at and where you could delegate and get help. And that is so valuable. Because again, even if you don't execute on it right now, even if, you know, we're coming up to Christmas and you're like, now is not the time for me to add one more thing to my plate, it at least is going to give you some direction that you can then do something with.
Right. And I absolutely designed it to not, if you want to skip a page or whatever, do that. That's fine. What I just want to get your wheels turning in the right direction to hire an assistant. A lot of people haven't hired an assistant before, whether it's having an assistant or going through the hiring process, which can be super intimidating, right? So this is just designed to kind of bring some calm to that chaos and put you more in the driver's seat instead of hiring somebody on and having them boss you around. You're the boss. And so the goal is to take you from COE, which is the chief of everything, to CEO. And so I want you to be able to do that in the easiest way possible. And this workbook is definitely going to get you there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for offering that. I hope that you guys go download that. And I will put that in the show notes as well so that it's super easy to access. Where can people connect with you online to hire you, to ask follow-up questions, to get other guides that you mentioned, or just to get in touch?
Absolutely. So my website is jenlawrence.co. That's JenLawrence.co. I'm also on Instagram at jenlawrence.co and Facebook at jenlawrence.co.
Awesome. And lastly, my final question for you is, what do you believe are the ingredients of a fulfilling life?
Oh, joy and generosity.
Ooh, that was quick. That was easy.
Yes, that is. Those are my guiding principles for everything, is that to live a joyful life, but also to live a generous life, both with my time, my energy, and my resources.
So good. Well, your time and energy and resources were so valuable here today. Thank you so much for taking time to share them twice, both coffee with me while I picked your brain, and then again on the podcast so I could share it with all my friends. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for everybody to soak up all of this knowledge, to get your guides, both the free one and the other stuff that's available in your shop, and hopefully start delegating a little bit more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Before you take off, just a few quick things. First, thank you so much for listening to this entire episode. Creating this podcast brings me so much joy, and I just have the most sincere appreciation for you listening, supporting the show, and hopefully getting something out of it. Don't forget that any resources or tools mentioned in this episode are conveniently linked for you in the show notes, and you can find those in your podcast app or at heypresleycreative.com/podcast. Please share this episode with a friend and then screenshot you listening and post it on your social media or your Instagram story and tag me at Hey Presley so I can see that you're listening and thank you personally. And if you really want to spread the love and you're listening on your iPhone, please take just a couple moments, leave a review in your podcast app. That gives us so much fire to continue working on this and lets me know what you're liking and what you want more of. Lastly, if you haven't already, don't forget to hit subscribe so that each and every time I post a new show, your phone will give you a sweet little reminder to listen in. If you have questions for me or suggestions for the show, find me on Instagram at Hey Presley or shoot an email to podcast@heypresley.com. This episode is brought to you by Hey Presley Nutrition, the sustainable and practical approach to reaching your goals. My nutrition coaching company was founded on the basis of empowering you to be successful long-term through accountability, real-life strategies, teaching, and a holistic approach. It's month-to-month, it's entirely personalized, you work directly one-on-one with a coach, and there's no templates or meal plans or cookie-cutter protocols, just what works for you. Pop over to heypresleynutrition.com to see some of the amazing results that clients have achieved and to schedule a free phone consultation with a coach to see if it's a good fit for you. Exclusive to listeners of this show, enter promo code PODCAST, all one word, when you sign up for a sweet discount on your first month. Thank you, make it a wonderful day, and I'll catch you on the next episode.